Back in the late 1800s, there was a lady by the name of Jane Addams. You may not be familiar with this name, but she was a famous social worker at the time, and one day she was riding a train. During this train trip, Miss Addams encountered an old friend. But perhaps like some of us, she could not remember the friend's name. She remembered the face, but she couldn't remember who exactly this lady was. Rather than disclose the fact that she couldn't remember who this lady was, Addams initiated some small talk, thinking that that conversation would stimulate her mind and she could remember exactly who this lady was and her name. After about 30 minutes of small talk, Adams still could not remember the woman's name or anything about her, but something came up in the conversation that gave her an idea. As Adams was speaking with this woman, the lady, the person who couldn't be identified, said, "My brother, my poor brother, is working himself to death." Adams at that point thought, aha, that's my end to figuring out who this lady is. She said, "Ah, yes, your dear brother. And what's he doing now?" The forgotten friend said, "He's still president of the United States." Failing to remember something can be embarrassing. It can be hurtful. It can be dangerous. And sometimes it can be deadly. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at some information relative to elders from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. We're going to pretty much deviate from that course today and think about remembering or not forgetting. I've decided to switch course because a lot of attention has been focused on 9/11 over the last week. If you've watched any TV or if you've read some newspapers, you've probably seen a lot of emphasis on remembering some events that happened just over 14 years ago. On 9/11, 2001, a Tuesday morning, we probably remember where we were. Thousands of people in this country died. In the years that followed that attack on 2001, there have been all kinds of memorials. People have tried to remember those events in various ways. If you follow anything in the news, you know that there have been some memorials which have been created for remembering the victims of 9/11. If you have traveled to some places where this is a point of great interest, you've probably seen some memorials. There are some physical structures that have been created to help remember what happened on 9/11. If you watch some of the reports, though, the last week, you probably picked up some information along the lines that I also was able to hear and see. It's been noted that since 14 years have passed since that attack, there has been a declining interest in remembering the victims on 9/11. People have kept a record of how many people show up for festivities, and I don't mean that they're fun, but for the things that are done for remembering on this day, and they've noticed that there's been a decline in attendance. I also saw within the past 48 hours some information about a Mennonite group. I think that they come from Wisconsin every year. And this group spoke of how immediately after 9/11, and at least for the next few years that followed, as they went and they offered some tracks and they offered some CDs, there was a lot of interest. But now they've come to a point almost 15 years later, certainly 14 years later plus 2 days, where they've seen also a decline. There's less of an interest in spiritual matters. The Bible has a lot to say about the idea of remembering or remembrance. And this morning we want to look at some of these passages. And if you've seen the outline, we don't do this too often, but we're going to do this today. We're going to work through the Bible in reverse. We're going to start with the last book in the New Testament and work towards the front of God's Word as far as the New Testament is concerned. That's why I asked Michael to read Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. From Revelation chapter 3, the first part of the chapter, we have some information about a congregation known as Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says that this church was basically a dead church. If we want to know what a dead church is like, Sardis is it. This congregation was on life support. It was in real trouble. And John writes to this congregation trying to shake them up, tries to tell them this is a serious matter and you need to get right with God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, we have a word which is translated remember. John said if you want to go back and if you want to get right with the Lord, if you want to be removed from your dead state, you need to remember. I think that's a relevant lesson for us. If a congregation wants to be a dead church, all it has to do is start forgetting. If a Christian does not want to be a strong Christian, if a Christian does not want to be a healthy Christian, the only thing that is necessary is to become forgetful, to stop remembering. Someone says, well, we want a strong church. Another person says, well, I want to be a strong Christian. If those are the items that we want individually and collectively, we must remember. It's when we forget, or when we start to forget, that we individually and collectively become weak. Now, John, he's writing to seven congregations in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. If John had only used the idea of remembrance once, it would be important. But as we look at these seven congregations, we find that John twice spoke about the need to be involved with remembering some things. If we back up one chapter, in Revelation chapter 2, we have some information about Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, your Bible, whatever translation it is, should have the word remember, or it should have a word which is synonymous with this. God said, I want you to remember. I want you to look at. I want you to consider. I want you to pay attention to how you're falling. Don't turn your eyes away. Don't close your eyes. Don't be blind. But you need to remember if you're going to be back in a right relationship with God. Two out of the seven churches were told that they needed to remember some matters if they were going to be in a state that pleases God. Now, if I were looking at these passages, my next thought might be, well, I can understand the need to remember. I mean, that's important in the secular realm and certainly must be relevant in the spiritual realm. But what should I remember? What are the items that God wants me to remember? Well, let's back up a little bit more. Turning from the book of Revelation and backing up to the preceding book, the book of Jude, we have this idea of remembering once again. And Jude has no chapter, so we need to find verse 17. In the 17th verse of Jude, the Bible says, but ye beloved, remember. I want you to, Jude says, remember the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. God says, remember Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3. And then when we back up to Jude verse 17, God says, I want you to remember the words. I want you to remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of Christ. Well, we were not there 2,000 years ago. We cannot remember the verbal words that were spoken if we weren't there, but we now have that information recorded in the New Testament. And we can read through the 27 books of the New Testament, and then after we read, we can begin to remember. And of course, it's not just mental knowledge, but with that remembrance, we also do our best to apply it. Backing up a little more, Peter and Jude have many things to say which are somewhat similar. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, the final chapter of 2 Peter, we find that some of what the apostles taught and some of what we are to remember consists of commandments from God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 says, I want you to remember. There's that idea again. Peter said, I want you to remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and he says the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Remember the commandments that were given by God through the Lord and through the apostles. Now somebody says, well, okay, I can understand the need to remember Revelation 2 and 3. And I can understand the need to remember the commandments of God, what was spoken by the apostles. But can we break that down a little bit more? Can we offer some of the specific things that we need to remember? Yes. One of those items would be, since we've been talking about elders, we need to remember some things about elders, the people who help serve in a local congregation. When we look at this, we can back up just a little bit more. Leaving the book of Hebrews and turning back a few pages, we'll probably find the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in the 7th verse of Hebrews 13, we have some information about leaders. The writer speaks about those who have the rule over you. And he says to the people who received that book, I want you to remember these men. Well, that instruction makes sense for a lot of reasons. Remember in the sense that you comply with the information that they try to provide and help you with. But also perhaps remember from the standpoint of recollect what people do. In our world, there's an interesting practice, and it's certainly a good practice. If a person is a secretary, could be a male secretary, could be a female secretary, he or she will probably have a day when there's Secretary's Day, and he or she will be remembered. Or if we are out there in the secular work world, depending on the work arrangement, depending on the size of the business, we might have a Remember the Boss Day. We might have in our community a day where we remember police officers, we remember paramedics, we remember the firefighters. Thus, we would expect to find somewhere in the Bible some information perhaps about remembering leaders. It's right to remember the work of others. This, though, is not just a point for the elders. Remember that as we meet at this structure, there are some people who work at various times. They're volunteers who make it possible for us to continue to meet in this structure, to not have it condemned, and to have it in a good state of repair. We need to remember those, if we have children or grandchildren, remember those that help teach them. We should remember those who take the time to make sure, again going back to the volunteer standpoint, there are people who clean the communion supplies. How would you like to have dirty communion cups every week? Mold growing out of the cups. There are people who provide the communion supplies. There are people, if we use the bathroom, they provide through some time. They're reimbursed for it, I think, typically, but paper towels and toilet paper and cups and various things that we use. If you sat down on a clean pew this morning, remember, there was someone who spent some time cleaning that. Backing up a few more verses in Hebrews chapter 13, we once again have this idea of remembering. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 3, the Bible says, remember the people who are in prison. Remember those who have been incarcerated. In this day and time, persecution was taking place. It was not uncommon for Christians to be locked up. They were not able to get out and be with their brethren. When we think about remembering people, this is also relevant today. There are people who, for one reason or another, may not be able to assemble with God's people, and the Bible says you remember them. That's an important instruction because it's easy to forget about some people. It's easy to, if you will, sweep some people under the rug or forget about them. What would we think? In the later years, we're too old to care for ourselves. Maybe we have no family left, or the family members that we have are ill, or maybe out of town, maybe out of the country. And we find ourselves in a nursing home. Would we want to be remembered? Or would we want to be someone who's forgotten? Someone who is perhaps like the individual in that prison cell that threw away the key and no one ever comes to see us. When we think about some others in life, the sick, remember me, remember us. One of the reasons we need to remember is that the Lord has told us to do this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, we have some information backing up just a little bit more. Have some information about Christ. And Paul says, I want you to remember that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Well, we do that on a regular basis here. But there's also a practical sense in which we want to apply this. Remember that Jesus has been raised from the dead. If the Lord's been raised, that means he's reigning. If the Lord's been raised from the dead, that means that he is our Lord. He's watching us. We're accountable to him. He's paying attention to what we do. And we should, as his servants, as his subjects, we need to make sure that we remember to follow his commandments, his instructions. He's going to remember whether or not we live according to his will or whether we fail to do that, and that should incline us to live in the right way. When we think about this word in the Bible, it's used in some other ways, perhaps to be an incentive to help us to live the right way. Backing up a little bit more, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we'll in just a minute look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. But in preparation for this, it might be good to remember that we, prior to becoming a Christian, were people who were guilty of sin. We'd broken God's laws. We could not help ourselves. We needed a covering. If you were not here last Sunday night, I'm not going to rehash the sermon, but last Sunday night we had a lot of people out of town. And someone said, I wish you would have preached that sermon when we had more people in town. I pointed out in that lesson how from the book of Genesis chapter 3 you have Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, they come before God and they're wearing fig leaves. Immediately after that, you find, especially as you look at Genesis 3, verse 21, the Bible says that God clothed them. They had coats of skin used for covering. Adam and Eve needed a covering to come before God. They tried their covering. They tried fig leaves, and God said, that's not going to cut it. You've got to be covered by something that I provide. And God, in that case, said coats of skin. The implication being that there was going to come a time when men under the New Testament would need a covering as well. And that covering would not be morality, it would not be good works, it would not be giving X number of dollars, but the covering would be the blood of Christ and his church. If we've come to that time where we've reached that covering, we need to remember that there was a period, there was a time where we were uncovered. We were wearing, if you will, our fig leaves, and it simply was not going to work. Paul says, I want you to remember. I want you to think back to that time when you were not in a right relationship with God. And let that be an incentive for you to live the Christian life. Ephesians 2, starting with verse 11, he says, wherefore remember. You've become Christians. You are part of a congregation which, at least for a time, was a model church. And Paul said, you need to remember. I want you to go back and recall how you were once Gentiles, how you were in the flesh. I want you to think about how there was a time in your life when you were among the uncircumcised. And I want you to think about verse 12, that you were at that time separate from Christ. I want you to remember how you were alienated from God, from the commonwealth of Israel. I want you to remember how you were strangers from the covenants of promise. I want you to remember how you had no hope. I want you to remember how you, in that unsaved state, were without God in the world. And now, I want you to remember that you're in Christ. I want you to remember that you are a child of God. You have been made nigh. How? by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've received the right covering. If we will remember who we were and now who we are, we will have a great incentive to really live the Christian life, to start living that new life in Christ. Stated another way, our recollection should be a reminder that our behavior has to change. And for people, that's going to take various forms. In the book of Galatians, backing up just a little bit more, Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul said we need to remember the poor. Now, maybe before we became a Christian, we were compassionate people. Maybe we did remember the poor and we did many other good things. But you know, there are some people who were not very good at this kind of activity. And Paul says you need to remember people who are in this state. Jesus certainly taught the same kind of thing. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, moving rearward a little bit more, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. As a new child of God or as an old child of God, this is something that we need to remember. Now, sometimes a person says, well, all those things are good, and I really try to remember. But I struggle. Unless there is something in my mind which will, you know, really prompt me to remember, I need kind of, the person who says I need to be hit over the head with a hammer to remember that. Well, the Bible helps us in that way. The Bible gives us some big things, if you will, to help us remember. One of those items would be some Bible characters. Do you recall how from Luke chapter 17, verse 32, Jesus spoke about Lot's wife? She was the lady who failed to remember something, and we know what happened to her. The Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, there's some things that I'd like to know. There's some details that are not given that leave me with some curiosity questions about Lot's wife. But we do have enough, I certainly have enough to know, that she is someone who was put forth to remind us that we need to remember, we need to keep in mind the things God has told us to do. Jesus specifically used the word remember in Luke 17, verse 32. He said, remember Lot's wife. So we can remember that here is a person, and she's not the only one. But here is a person who failed to remember what God had said. It cost her dearly, not only in this life, but very possibly, or perhaps likely, in eternity. If we fail to remember, the consequence in life is not going to be turned into a pillar of salt. If we fail to remember, the consequence is going to be eternity in a place that refers to, the Bible refers to as hell. When we think about remembering, God will remember those who recall to do his will and those who do not. We know that, or we think about that in terms of one of the men that was with Jesus when the Lord died. The Bible says that two thieves were crucified with the Lord. There was one on the right, one on the left. And one of those two thieves was mindful of the Lord. He said to Jesus, I want you to remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Well, the Lord's faithful. And that request to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom was surely kept. Perhaps one of the saddest things for people as they go through eternity in an unsaved state will be the fact that they will have at least some recollection of the afterlife. Moving back just a little bit more in the book of Luke, you may recall how Jesus there gave a story about two men who lived on the earth and they both died. There was the rich man and he had it all. There was a poor man who had almost nothing. The Bible says that that rich man finally came to the time where he died. He entered into the afterlife, and for him, that was the Hadean realm. He was on the unpleasant side of Hades, the place where the dead go as far as their eternal spirit. The rich man had his time there, which was very unpleasant. Lazarus went to the other side, and he was greatly blessed. Jesus, in telling that story, related how the man who was unsaved, the rich man, was told to remember the things that he had in life. I thought over the years many times about the Lord's teaching. That man surely was able to remember. He was able to perhaps remember the fine clothing that he had. Maybe he had some shoes that other people didn't have. He was able to remember perhaps the jewelry that he was able to possess. He was able to remember the fine food that he'd been able to eat. He was able to remember how he was able to change some things in terms of his clothing. He was able to remember some things perhaps in terms of how he was able to change the temperature, get to a place where it was cooler, get to a place that was warmer. And that's all he could do. He could remember, but he couldn't change things. And that's sad. But that's going to be the fate for many people as they enter into eternity. They're going to enter into a state where they can remember things associated with this life, but they can't change them. So God says, I don't want you to get into that kind of state. I don't want you to enter into eternity, and the only thing that you can do will be to look back at that life that you had on earth and remember how good it was. There's no value in that because it can't help us. So God says to avoid that kind of experience, you, as you go through life, you need to remember the things in this life. You need to recollect things as you're living your life on earth, so when you die, you're not left with a bunch of empty memories. As we noted earlier from the illustration 14 years ago, 9/11, people are prone to forget. If people can be prone to forget something as terrible as the attack on this nation almost 15 years ago, if time can dull the mind and the memory that much, then what about the spiritual realm? Is it not possible for us, when it comes to things related to God, to start getting fuzzy and foggy with the memory? It is. And we know that because we've seen it from Revelation chapter 2, Ephesus, and Revelation chapter 3, the church at Sardis. Two congregations are specifically told that they needed to go back and remember some things. Thankfully, the Bible says that God has given us some tools to help us when it comes to memory. One tool is weekly worship. If we are assembling with God's people on a regular basis, we have a continued reminder to follow the will of God. Another is the New Testament church. In the New Testament church, we are encouraged to remember spiritual things through the songs, through the hymns that we sing. The preaching, the teaching that's done in a local congregation, whether it's in worship, or maybe it is related to our Bible classes, maybe it's done outside of worship and class. Those times are also designed to help us remember. We have the Lord's Supper. And we don't do that just to take up some time in worship. We don't do that every week to make ourselves distinctive from other groups, but we do that to remember the Lord. When we look at other religious groups, we find some that take the Lord's Supper once a year. Some will take the Lord's Supper twice a year. Others will say we'll take it quarterly, and we find sometimes some groups that take it monthly. Those choices are not enough. They're not enough biblically, and they're not enough from a standpoint of common sense. Remember, just 1 week is often, sometimes a day, sometimes less than a day, is enough time to allow us to forget. The Corinthians were told, I want you to take the Lord's Supper, Paul said, when you come together, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. And the Corinthians, translations like the New American Standard tell us, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, the Corinthians were coming together every Sunday. You remember the Lord on his day. Every day that comes, Sunday, every Sunday, remember the Lord. We have those other tools. Certainly God's Word should be a reminder. It should be a memory tool for us day after day after day. Get forgetful. Stop remembering. And we will be on the road every single time to being a weak Christian and a weak congregation. The way to insulate ourselves from that is to remember. This morning, where are we at when it comes to remembering things? We might be someone in the physical world and we forget. We take the milk out of the fridge and we forget to put it back. We put our keys somewhere and we can't remember where they are. Maybe can't even remember where the car got parked. In the spiritual realm, failing to remember is absolutely deadly. And if that's where we are in our spiritual life, we are on the road to destruction. Remember. Remember. Do we remember what's required to become a Christian? Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. Somebody says, oh yeah, I've remembered that. Faith alone is not going to save. That knowledge is not going to be sufficient. We have to remember and do. Someone says, well, yes, I remember becoming a Christian. I remember my past life. Are we remembering our continuing responsibilities as a Christian? If not, it's time today to remember what's right. And with that knowledge, to do it. Can we help you? Remember in the sense of getting you back on track, to help you become a Christian, to help restore you to the kind of relationship with God the Bible describes. Think about that. Remember what's right and do it as we stand and sing the selected song.